the appearance day of Srila Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. At 8 o'clock, a special guest will be coming. So I'd like to speak just a few minutes about the great debt that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas eternally owe to this great Vaishnava Acharya. Krishna explains in Gita to Arjuna that he explained the great science of pure devotional service to the sun god, the Vishwan, who in turn explained it to Manu, Ikshvaku. But in due course of time, the science as it is, became lost to the general mass of people. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashaya vidhu sakala neha mahatha yogo nashta parantapa. The real truth about the personality of Godhead descends to the system of disciplic succession. And in these four great Vaishnav lines, we find the truth has been preserved throughout the ages. But oftentimes, although some rare few preserve the truth within their own hearts and amongst their most intimate associates, the nature of time and the nature of this material world is when the truth is not protected by such pure, unmotivated, unalloyed devotees, then it becomes compromised, it becomes manipulated, and it becomes exploited. And thus the nature of that truth is lost. And the access to people in general, or sincere seekers, is no longer possible. So Krishna explains in Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sikshamaham, that he appears in this material world to reestablish those truths of pure dharma. Sometimes he comes himself, and sometimes he sends his eternal associates, his empowered representatives. So Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, but practically speaking, it was very difficult for people to understand in this age of Kali. Therefore, Sri Krishna came again as the Yuga Avatar, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through his own example and teachings, and especially as they were broadcasted by his devotees, headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rup Sanatan, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami. And then their immediate descendants, Kaviraj Goswami, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur. And later on, the same truth was distributed in its pure, pristine form by such great acharyas as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan. But as these centuries rolled on, motivated people took the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya and corrupted them and formed so many apa-sampradayas. They used enough of the proper terminology to appear authentic and authorized, but their own polluted ideas were introduced, infiltrated within the pure words of the Lord. And this was the situation for many decades, especially at the beginning of the 19th century. The Gaudiya Sampradaya was known to the intelligent class of people, as well as to most people in general, to be a movement of sahajyas, because most everyone in the name of Lord Chaitanya were following such sahajya gurus. And the ways they were worshipping the Lord through their various concoctions is not at all worth speaking of in this assembly of sincere Vaishnavas. At the same time, at the beginning of the 19th century, India was under British rule, and the British were sending their own Christian missionaries, as well as Germans, to study Sanskrit and become authorities of the Sanskrit scriptures, and to write books of what they call the authorized translations of the Vedas, and to teach in the highest universities and colleges in this country, with only one motive: to prove to the people in a very subtle but very effective way that the Vedas were useless mythology, and that anyone who is serious about God consciousness must convert to Christianity. These were called the Indologists, and to this day, practically every textbook about the Hindu religion and the translations of the Vedic scriptures in all the universities in the world, including India, are written by these Indologists, whose subtle and only motive was to shake the faith of all the Hindus. The British lords that were subjugating this land, they considered the customs, the rituals, the culture, and the religion of India utterly useless. In fact, one of the biggest politicians of this land, he said that all of the Vedas and all of the libraries of Indian history and culture, there's not even as much, all of their texts, relevant information, as one small bookshelf that you find in any person's house in England. The propaganda was that they are worshipping genitals of men and women. The propaganda was that they are worshipping gods who are liars, thieves, and sex mongers. And the general populace of India, especially the intelligent class who were going to the universities, were learning these things, and they believed them, because they were presenting it in such a scholarly way. So in this way, and as far as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, the British Indologists, they just completely discarded it as just sentimentalism and so many unspeakable other explanations that they would give. So we should know that the Yuga Dharma and the Yuga Avatar, who came for the purpose of giving hope to all of the all fallen souls of Kali Yuga, his divine and sublime mission was in such disrepair that practically no one would hear it or take it seriously. Because the British were making the whole Indian culture look just ridiculous. And even amongst those who were Hindus, they saw that the Gaudiya Sampradaya was full of unspeakable, unmentionable activities. And the whole philosophy was so corrupted. But there were a few great sadhus, pure Vaishnavas, who just remained to themselves in holy places like Vrindavan and Navadvip, and with pure unalloyed devotion, remembering the pure teachings of Rupa Goswami, continued to chant the holy names. It was in this environment that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his beloved, eternal, dear associate, Kedaranath Dutt, who later is glorified by the holy name of Srila Thakur Bhaktivinod. Bhaktivinod Thakur was born in a wealthy environment, and by the inconceivable leela of the Lord, from his very earliest days, Bhaktivinod was given experiences by which he could later utilize to really establish Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy and mission. He was born in aristocracy, and he was very, very thoroughly educated in British schools, and he had studied, learned, and realized all of the greatest philosophies of the world, both Western as well as Eastern. He was also given position within the English government, very respectful magistrate, a judge. But his leela was, after his very, very deep and high education by British standards, and studying all of these great philosophies of the world, he became so much attracted to the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by associating with the pure devotees of the Lord. He wanted to study Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure teachings became so obscure, although he was living in Bengal, it took him 8 years to find a single copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some may wonder if he's a Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of the Lord, how is it that he went through, apparently, a time of life where he was searching? But we must understand that in order to fulfill his purpose, this was the lila which he performed. And upon deeply scrutinizing this great teachings of the six Goswamis, he realized that this is truly the hope for the whole world. The purest, the highest, the most transcendental philosophy of all philosophies. The greatest and the most benevolent of all religions. And against all possible odds, he decided that he was going to give his life to propagating to the world the true teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This means he had to single-handedly fight against all of the British and German scholars who had complete control over the entire educational system of India. He had to fight against centuries of blasphemous propaganda against the teachings of the Vedas and the teachings of Mahaprabhu. He had to fight against a hierarchy of controllers, foreign invaders, who practically had the whole nation strangled by their lying propaganda. He had to fight against, even more difficult than that, all of the corrupt sahajas. Who were getting their sense gratification and their prestige by misrepresenting Mahaprabhu's teachings. He had innumerable enemies who were willing to do anything to stop him. And he had the blessings of great souls. But that's, other than that, he fought single-handedly. His greatest weapon was his pen. He began to write literatures to reestablish the true unalloyed principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he presented it in Bengali language, in Hindi language, in English language, in Sanskrit language. He tirelessly would preach. By being a magistrate, he was given distinction, prestige, and respectability. And he utilized that as a format by which he could present the true teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through him, scholars all over the world, especially in India, they recognized the true glory and value of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And he exposed all of these sahajas. He wrote entire literatures warning any true devotees against these sahaja sampradayas. He named them, he listed them, he explained very specifically in great detail what were their deviations, what were their motivations. And practically 99% of Gaudiya Vaishnavas at the time was those sahaja sampradayas. And they were threatened. And they were angry. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not care, because the truth must be revealed.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
He was the very embodiment of the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I'm all alone with this great mission in the preaching field. Because the other true Gaudiya Vaishnavas, at the time, they were not really preachers. They were bhajan anandis, just doing their bhajan. He was the only one who was in the front lines preaching. So, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, please send help. Please send a ray of Vishnu, one of your own personal associates, empowered to assist me in this great mission. And in the answer to his prayer, while Thakur Bhakti Vinod was the magistrate of Jagannath Puri, at the time he was also put in as the superintendent of the Jagannath Temple to revive the standard of worship there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared as his own son. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who was named Bimala Prasad, when he was just a little baby, during the Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath's cart mysteriously stopped right in front of the house of Bhakti Vinod and would not move, however hard everyone pulled it. So taking advantage of the situation, Bhagavati Devi, the wife of Bhakti Vinod, brought the little baby infant child to Jagannath, and when he came close to Jagannath, he reached out his hand to touch the feet of Jagannath, placed the dust on his head, and right at that very moment a garland fell from Jagannath right around the body of the little baby child. And when Bhakti Vinod Thakur heard of this wonderful event, he understood that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fulfilled my desire. He has answered my prayer. So together, Thakur Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati very boldly challenged and preached. Bhakti Vinod Thakur also found in his life that the birthplace that was worshipping by Lord Chaitanya could not have been the proper birthplace. It was just a tract of land which some Brahmins who owned that land wanted to make a fortune. They just called it his birthplace, and innocent pilgrims were coming and giving so many donations and giving so much dakshin and so forth. It was a money-making activity. Another corruption. And he understood that it is of the most vital importance that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's true birthplace should be the principal place of pilgrimage for all of Bengal and ultimately for all of the world. But in order for this to come true, he had to find the original location. Through studying of ancient maps, scriptures, consulting with Paramhamsa Vaishnavas, ultimately Thakur Bhakti Vinod discovered
the actual birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And with the confirmation of his Shiksha Guru, Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he broadcasted to all Gaudiya Vaishnavas that here is the opportunity for all of us to take this holy pilgrimage. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a vision that in this holy land of Mayapur Dham, where Lord Chaitanya took birth, someday a personality will appear who will attract Americans, Europeans, Russians, Africans, people from all over the world to come to worship the Lord, study his pure teachings, and together dance and chant the holy names. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, his pen was truly tireless. He wrote a newspaper, a fortnightly newspaper, and he also wrote so many journals, so many wonderful commentaries on the Six Goswamis' literatures, on the Srimad Bhagavatam, on the Brahma Samhita. He wrote beautiful, beautiful songs in simple Bengali language, which perfectly illustrated the pure, unadulterated Siddhanta or conclusions of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. And most important, his songs exhibited the true mood of pure devotion. He was a grihastha. He set, by his own standard, an example by which all grihasthas, in fact, all devotees, must strive to follow in his footsteps. He had 10 children, wife, important, respectable position within society, but yet he never wasted a moment. He was never late for an appointment. Throughout the day, he would do his service with such efficiency that there was no other magistrate in all of the land of India that could compare to him. And after taking some prasad and spending some time with his family, he would go out to villages, towns, and cities and preach vigorously, distribute prasad, and induce everyone to take part in the kirtan of the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And he would take small rest, and then he would be through the hours of the night in his pure mood of divine meditation and the lotus feet of the Lord. He would write wonderful, wonderful books, wonderful, wonderful songs. And then he would perform his bhajan. Oftentimes he would walk up and down in his garden or on his veranda with his japa beads, calling out the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
His sadhana although he was situated in the highest platform of spontaneous pure devotional service, he was a true acharya. He set by his example the highest standard of sadhana, the highest standard of morality, the highest principles for the world to follow. And it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who was the first of the acharyas in our line that had a very specific practical vision of how to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya throughout the entire world. In fact, in the year 1896, he sent one of the books that he had written, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Teachings, to McGill University in Montreal, Canada. And by doing so, the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya for the first time left the soils of India for a foreign land. It was Thakur Bhaktivinoda who had this vision to plant the seed. And in that same year, 1896, when the seed of Lord Chaitanya's tree was planted with the vision of fruits being spread throughout the entire world, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada appeared to fulfill the prayer of Srila Bhaktivinoda. So Srila Prabhupada would often tell us, that Bhaktivinoda planted the seed and established the principle and re-established the true dignity and purity of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. His son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, trained an army of incredible, empowered preachers to preach all over India and open 64 Bodhiya Maths throughout this land. And one of those empowered disciples, our Srila Prabhupada, it was his divine mission to come to this earth to bring the ultimate fulfillment to the vision of all the previous acharyas, to spread the holy name of Lord Gaurasundar all over the world. Right where Bhaktivinoda Thakur would sit on his veranda and have this vision of seeing devotees from all races, nationalities, and religions all together chanting the holy names. Mahaprabhu Gauranga arranged for Srila Prabhupada to obtain a wonderful land in Srimayapur Dham at that very place of Bhaktivinoda's meditation. And every year during the Gaur Purnima festival, thousands of devotees gather together from Africa, from America, from every one of the European countries, from South America, from Australia, from Russia, China, Mongolia. Where else is there? From every corner of the world, they are all coming together, holding the beautiful sign of Tilak on their foreheads, and with raised arms dancing in great joy, loudly chanting the holy names. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki. So this evening we will discuss at Anandashram something more of the life and teachings of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. But we should, on this very holy day, contemplate the debt that from our hearts we owe Bhaktivinoda, because it was by his fearless, bold willingness to be compassionate to all living beings that we are all given the most wonderful fortune and treasure in all of creation, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. So, until one very wonderful Vaishnav, Bhakti Sundara Govinda Maharaj, is in Bombay and he'll be visiting our temple probably any minute now. He's coming. He was a very close associate of Srila Prabhupada and a very he was the principal disciple of one of Prabhupada's dear godbrothers, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. He's now the acharya of that math, the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Gaudiya Math. So whenever these wonderful associates of Srila Prabhupada come, we should welcome them with great love and great respect, with kirtan and nice hospitality. Until Maharaj comes, I think we will sing the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Is there songbooks?